Hello to members of Faith Cumberland Presbyterian Church in America. This is Pastor Tony. Thank God we're still in the land of the living. God's goodness is still inspiring praise and worship in our hearts. God's grace is still pouring in great proportions. We are secure in God's love. We're getting closer to being able to worship together than ever before. Although restrictions on lockdown are loosening up, we still must stay on our knees and continue to pray. May God heal our land, save our souls, and build His kingdom, even while our hearts and minds are consumed with a deadly virus. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? If Jesus can walk on water and command storms to be still, is there any doubt Jesus can speak to the storms that grips our world today? Today's message finds Jesus and His disciples dealing with a sudden crisis. Jesus' ministry includes preparing His disciples for a future in kingdom building. The disciples are slowly learning what the cost will be to follow in Jesus' footsteps. To be a disciple of Jesus, we'll have to learn how to deal with the storms of life while ministering to the spiritual needs of others. Our scripture lesson teaches us how close Jesus is when we experience storms in our lives. We are not alone when violent winds blow into us and disrupt our home life. When we are in the midst of a storm, where is Jesus? Can we survive the storm of this coronavirus? Our text is found in John 6:15-21. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take Him by force to make Him a king, He departed again into a mountain Himself alone. And when even was now come, His disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing nigh unto the ship. And they were afraid. But He saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received Him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Amen. Consider this subject for our meditation. Who commands your boat in the storm? We'll consider the importance of Jesus when storms of life smash into us. We are sure to confront many storms on our journey to eternity. Why do we have so many storms in life? What is the purpose of these storms? Why do storms force so much unwanted change in our lives? Why do storms wreck us so much? Is God trying to tell us something when a storm comes our way? Is God angry or what? The boat is one of the early symbols of the church in Scripture. The church is a boat that is violently tossed about in the stormy seas. The sea symbolizes the trials of life. Storms of life smashes hard against our little big church, the boat. Storms will indeed come. Traveling the high seas is a necessity. Lacking the ability to walk above a storm, you need a sound boat to travel the high seas of life. What kind of boat is needed to endure a journey across the wicked sea? In my childhood, I had a strange fascination with large ships. My first boat ride was a family outing to Catalina Island, located about an hour on a boat in Long Beach, California. I was so terrified with the possibility of the boat sinking. I made a promise to never get on such a small boat that was only 95 feet long. That's why for me, folks, the Nautica is too small. But is a bigger boat better? How big would a boat have to be before you boarded? The Titanic was supposed to be unsinkable. In 1912, it was the largest passenger ship afloat. It was 882 feet long, 92 feet wide, and contained 10 decks. It boasted a total capacity of 2,453 passengers, with a count of 900 crew members. It was a marvelous piece of work. The commanding crew of the Titanic comprised of the most talented officers for commanding such a humongous ship. The captain was the best sea officer that money could buy. He had 40 years of service as a seaman, including 27 years as a commander of the finest ships of his time. What could possibly go wrong with this huge ship? On her maiden voyage, the Titanic struck an iceberg. Inside of 3 hours, the Titanic sank to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. With all the grandeur and prestige invested in this marveling ship, The builders of the Titanic placed little thought on the sanctity of life. The passengers included all walks from British society. Among the passengers were included some of the most wealthiest people in the world. Greek immigrants were on board, seeking promising life here in America. The poorest in Europe were also on board. In the Titanic sinking, her passengers and crew, numbering 2,224, were victims of the worst maritime disaster of their time. Lifeboats only allowed a maximum of 1,178 people to escape the sinking ship. Shock and outrage resonated worldwide at the loss of 1,500 lives. This disaster exposed man's arrogance before God. The Titanic took over 26 months to build. The shipbuilders were visionary and boasted to have built the first unsinkable ship. They were horribly wrong. Accidents, sickness, calamity, and death are storms we can expect in a fallen world. What kind of boat and how large must it be to survive a spiritual storm headed your way? Will your boat stay afloat when the devil's wicked forces slam into you? Who will command your boat in the storm? Why is the boat so important? It is by boat, symbolically speaking, that you will journey across the high seas to reach your eternal destination with God. The high seas, symbolically speaking, points to the wicked forces of the devil. The devil aims to kill and destroy you. The high seas represents anything or anyone that aims to disrupt your relationship with God. The high seas always attacks your faith. Storms on the high seas will constantly crash into your boat. Can your boat avoid hitting an iceberg and sinking? Is your boat seaworthy? Can your boat hold together after angry waves crash on you? The boat spoken of here is your heart. Your boat has cargo on board. The cargo on your boat includes all the anxieties of life, disappointments, hurts, pains, bitterness, anger, and other spiritual ailments that weighs heavily on your boat, especially in severe storms. Your boat can be overloaded with sinful cargo that weighs on your heart. What cargo does your boat carry on the high seas? The wrong cargo will result in your boat sinking when the winds hurl monstrous waves on you. In a fierce storm, it's not long before your boat takes on water and starts sinking. No wonder the Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The heart affects all of your life, especially your character, for good or worse. The heart is to be guarded and protected from all evil. In your heart resides one's will and affections. The heart directs your actions. Your actions either lead to eternal life or eternal death. A pure heart can withstand the spiritual storms, while a corrupt heart will sink further into the abyss of sin and evil. This is tantamount to spiritual failure and hitting an iceberg. Storms exposes the true nature of your relationship with God. A storm has a way of showing you how far you have drifted from God in word and deed. Never underestimate any storm. All have the potential to sink your boat, tear you apart from God, cause you to disregard your faith. An unprepared heart is like the Titanic on its maiden voyage. It looked formidable, unsinkable. It was a symbol of man's power. But an iceberg tore a hole in the hull of the Titanic. It tore apart like a marshmallow and sunk. So many people believe their hearts are formidable. Many people have intelligence, wealth, skills, and abilities. They believe themselves unmovable and anchored for unexpected storms that can crash into their boat. In our text, Jesus and the disciples are confronted by a crowd ready to start a revolt against the Romans. The crowd want Jesus to be king right then and there, and are intent to make it so by force. Jesus and the disciples are in a crisis, and their lives are in danger. Jesus defuses the situation by sending the disciples off on a boat to proceed to Capernaum. The disciples will be safe if they leave immediately. Little do the disciples know they were about to face a more life-threatening storm they could not have imagined. The stage is set for the disciples to undergo spiritual instruction in being prepared for the unexpected. No doubt, Jesus knew an angry storm would confront the disciples. The fact is, there is no avoiding the storms of life. Storms are a given. The Bible says, "The disciples went down unto the sea." This is the crux of the message. We are confronted by ferocious storms on a daily basis. Is not the coronavirus a storm we have no answer for? We can only pray, cry out to God. Everybody can potentially be infected. Storms come for various reasons. First, storms can come as a result of obeying God. The apostles were thrown in prison for obeying the Great Commission. The high priest warned the apostles about preaching the gospel. But Peter's response was simple. We ought to obey God rather than men. Others who faced storms include Joseph, who was sold into slavery. Job was a righteous man, but suffered almost to the point of death. Jeremiah, a prophet of God, was thrown in prison for bringing to the king of Israel a message from God. These great biblical giants faced severe storms standing for God. None of these were alone. God's presence was key to their deliverance. Today, Christ is our high priest. You can expect Christ to meet you in the midst of your storms. Second, storms may come as a result of disobedience. Jonah disobeyed God, initially refusing to go to Nineveh to preach. Instead, Jonah sails to Tarsus and ends up in the belly of a big fish. Even so, Jonah prayed to God, repented, and was delivered. In every storm, God is present. Regardless of the reason for the storms crashing into us, God is achieving His will in you. God uses storms to get your attention. Many people aimlessly live day by day without knowing where they are spiritually headed, without considering their final destination. Storms awaken us from spiritual stupor. God uses storms to show us our flaws. We need to see we can't prevail in life because we lack the spiritual resources that only comes from walking with God. Storms quickly shows we need God. God uses storms to compel us to seek His mercy. Many people don't seek God until they are in a storm, a crisis, in trouble. Storms remind us we need God's mercy because we offend Him in so many ways. God uses storms to make us fear Him. When storms crash into us, what do we say? We cry out, "Oh God, save me." But this is also when we confess our ongoing lack of reverence of God, except when we are on our sick bed or when death is knocking. The storms of life is a daily constant. Storms come in the form of trials, persecutions, afflictions, sickness, unemployment, what have you. In the Bible, storms represent the high seas we must sail throughout our life. Jesus told His disciples to get on their boat and sail over to Capernaum. In the same way, Jesus is telling you and I, get on your boat and head toward God. In your boat ride, what are the important questions you need to ask to make sure you reach your destiny? Who do you need on your boat to help you navigate the high seas? This is the end of part one. Who commands your boat in the storm?